Okay, now we're ready to go.
Oh, you didn't like my ESPN
Oh
introduction?
no, oh no, it wasn't that. I just didn't know we were recording until just now.
Gosh.
I just started it just now.
Oh, side note, I had a really good thought, like a funny thought for a name. The
What was that?
Midcast. Like people love to use the word mid, so it's like, oh, the midcast.
That I actually like.
I think it would be funny to use that. Just
I
like to make
would
fun of people
definitely.
who love that word mid.
That word is thrown around a lot.
I hate that word with a passion, and I'm like, why not put it in a podcast?
Well,
Okay.
guys, it looks like we might have to change our name, the Midcasters. I actually like that better.
If you like that, go ahead and give it a vote or comment, yes or no. But ultimately, it's decided. Oh gosh. So, the Deadpool 3 trailer number 2 has come out, and we're going to talk about it. So, what were your thoughts on that, Craig?
Now, initially, I've seen a lot of people react to the first two Deadpools on YouTube, mainly the first one. I don't remember much about the second one other than the X Factor group, whatever they called the group dying in the beginning. And this one, I'm kind of mentally and physically drained from a lot of the superheroes, live action superhero stuff. After Guardians 3, I was just like, whoo, man, like that was a hell of a ride after Guardians 3. And I mean, yeah, Deadpool 3, it looks cool, but I'm not, too excited about it just because the lack of direction that they've had over the past few years and lackluster projects.
That's completely valid. I feel like they should have started off with the trailer that just came out as the first initial trailer, because I feel like that one was more exciting and grabbing of the audience's attention. Like, if you're going to do a Super Bowl ad, I felt like the second one would have been a better fit. I'm not a Ryan Reynolds fan, as a lot of people know, but this actually makes me feel like I'm excited for it. Rated R Deadpool. I don't know. I didn't see the Deadpool 2 movie. I don't really have plans of seeing it. If anybody else was Deadpool, I would be more excited, but it looks better. They're doing reshoots in May, and you know,
Again,
the movie comes out in July.
at this
In
point,
true
they might as
Deadpool
well just
fashion.
push it back.
Yeah, I really, okay, this was my initial thoughts, and I've said this before on another show, is that the Marvel should have been the July movie for this year. And Marvel Studios, I think, purposely set up that movie for failure by releasing it during the strike. So I think they could have moved it to July and then had Deadpool 3 maybe a Christmas movie, like Christmas Day. That would have been cool to see, like a Marvel on Christmas Day, or like maybe next February. But you know, at the end of the day, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. And there was one comment the director made, I think before the strike or after or during it or something, and they were like, did you do all the visual effects filming scenes before that? And he was like, oh no, that would have been smart though. I was like, oh my Lord. So that's what I'm assuming the reshoots are for.
That I don't
Hello.
the Marvels for failure. I haven't seen it because, like I've
The
said, I'm
Martians.
exhausted from live action superhero stuff and I just need a break for a while.
That's valid. At least you only get one movie this year for Marvel.
And with the Marvels, I feel like they put all the blame on Nia DaCosta, which was bullshit, because even she said that there was a lot of stuff
that they kept changing.
Yeah.
I found it to be an enjoyable film. It was a fun time. The chemistry between all three characters. I love Tianya. I think that's how you pronounce her name, Tianya. I love her. And I need to see her on the screen again with Wanda or just Elizabeth Olsen in general. But I just feel like they really set that film up for failure. And that sucks because it was truly an enjoyable film.
I think that even though I haven't seen it, I think that I'm pretty sure that if I were to watch that film, I have a feeling I might not love it, but I might not hate it as much as I do like Thor, The Dark World, or Love and Thunder, or Iron Man 2.
I mean, I think it helped that it was the shortest film in Marvel because you get straight to the point. They're not dicking around with like 15 different things, which I actually really enjoyed.
Which I think the longest one has been, so far the longest one has been
Endgame,
and we'll get into that. But I mean, I think usually depends on the length of I can't really think of any other superhero films that have been like super long. I mean, Wakanda Forever felt long.
The Batman felt really long. I never thought that movie was going to end.
Oh yeah, that's right.
My butt was hurting in the seat. I was like, is it over yet? Or can we go?
I do remember when I went to see that. Before they started them, like before they even played the previews, they had like a series of trivia questions that they played on the screen, like for the theme of the film, and it was written in the same letters, like written the same way that the Riddler wrote the Batman.
Oh, you're talking about that end credit scene that everybody waited for, and it was just a flash on the screen.
No, not after that. It was this was like before they played the previews or before they played the movie. It was like a series of questions involving like Batman or whatever, and it was written in the same text that the letters were written in that the
Batman. Gotcha. I'm fine with a longer movie, like as long as it keeps my interest. And no offense to Martin Scorsese, a lot of his movies they're really good, but they're super long and boring.
The only one I felt that was long and boring was The Irishman.
God, never seen it.
Damn. Well, I'm not gonna force you to, because damn, that movie's just
like Killers of the Flower Moon long.
You know what? I actually enjoy Killers of the Flower Moon way more than that. Like, I'll go back and watch that over going back and watching The Irishman. Like, when I watched Killers of the Flower Moon, it didn't feel that long to me until the court scenes.
It felt long to me because I was watching it in the theaters. I think I was just getting tired of sitting down.
I can feel that.
Oh my gosh. But speaking of long movies, we've hit the 5-year anniversary for Endgame. So I guess it kind of matches up year-wise with the events of Endgame. So what are your thoughts on Endgame now, knowing what we know?
I might have to go back and rewatch it, but that movie is not only is it long as shit, but I still don't understand the time thing.
Yeah, and Loki doesn't help it either. And I think what gets me is that it was filmed right after Infinity Wars, and so it felt like a huge downgrade. Like they were just trying to fit everything in to the last 3 hours. And I'm like, but it could have been two parts. you have Infinity Wars, then you have Endgame Part 1, Part 2, and I feel like that would have been sufficient because you could have built a little bit more onto the characters. Because I'll stand by this. I was like, I don't feel like we've seen enough of relationship building, familyness of the Avengers. I mean, like, they didn't even know she had a sister, Black Widow. Only Clint knew that. And it's just like insane. I was like, so you're telling me they were alone for 5 years and they never figured that out? And there was like a scene I think they were going to do about Natasha running an orphanage. I'm like, that would have been cool to see in the movie. Like, to see more of the humanity of these heroes and what they went through, because I feel like the only one we saw it from was Natasha. And I just, the time thing messes me up too.
That's a good point, because we didn't get to see enough of Clint until the Hawkeye series, which is really freaking a bummer, because I feel like they didn't really put a lot of emphasis on him and Natasha, because in the comics, it's their best friends, their couple, best friends, couple. So I would have liked for them to play out that more in the films. But of course they alluded to it here and there, but I felt like it wasn't fleshed out enough.
It was like Winter Widow with Bucky and Natasha. It was like they alluded to it, but they never actually show it to you. There's like subtle things here and there. Yeah, that one really bothers me.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Bucky and Natasha have had some sort of relationship together.
I mean, like the 2004 run, the 2012 run, like it's right there. The stuff was right there. And then they do Cap and her, and then in the next movie it's Bruce and her, and I was like, what's happening here? I love Infinity or Age of Ultron as much as the next person, but it was just like, I think they wanted to not nerf her, but they kind of did, because like she had like a rated R unrated history, and I feel like a rated R movie with her would have been good.
I think at that time, that would have probably been like too much of a risk for them. But now it seems like they're open to
willing.
Considering that Deadpool 3 is rated R. But
yeah, I agree with you.
But Black Widow, that should have came out like right after Civil
War. Oh my gosh, I will always stand by that. Ike, I think that was his name, Ike. He was like one of the main guys. He's like, oh, no one would ever want to see that movie. And it was like an email sent in the company. And that's why we never got it. And there was a 2004 movie that was supposed to be made, but it wasn't, because they're like, well, no one's going to want to see a female led superhero movie. it was a mistake. And so technically the Ballerina movie, which is like the spinoff from John Wick, is kind of, I think the writer of the original 2004 movie wrote this, so I'm going to consider that my Black Widow movie.
Yeah, that dude was a complete freaking
sexist.
Yeah, sexist, racist piece of shit.
You know, one thing that got me about that movie is like, so you see Loki, right? And you're like, technically, if you think about it, because it's who's ever, in the words of Stan Lee, it's whoever's writing it is what's going to happen. So I just didn't understand why they couldn't return the soul for a soul. You return the stone for her. Okay, that makes sense that you would do that. But then they don't do that. But then they bring Gamora back and she stays in the current present time. The TVA doesn't come to get her. I, in my brain, in my heart, the soul stone was returned for her.
The whole time thing just makes my head hurt.
Yeah, the time heist. Oh my gosh. Like, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense, because then you see Loki and you're like, okay, well, that kind of goes against what they're building. So then you're like, okay, these filmmakers clearly aren't watching other projects.
Right.
Or was this the plan to do this for Loki the entire time? Because I would assume it was in development pre-Endgame. And it's just like, they're not very cohesive together, and so they're kind of like out of the loop. And even like Elizabeth Olsen said, "Don't you know what we're doing in WandaVision?" And they literally just repeated the same thing in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, it seems as if, I mean, if you're gonna, I think they should just use the same people that are doing the films. I mean, if you don't know what's going on with the TV shows, then I feel like you shouldn't be hiring those people to write the film.
Sam Raimi didn't even know. I'm like, bro, you made three Spider-Man movies before. What are we doing here? And it's just like a huge disservice to Elizabeth Olsen and the character. And I wouldn't blame her if she was done making movies altogether. I mean, I like Multiverse of Madness, but I see where it could have been longer. It could have been rated R. They let the fans overhype it for no reason because they all thought we were getting Tom Cruise as Iron Man, which is hilarious.
I wouldn't, to be honest, I can't even imagine something like that.
I agree.
Just
Just
stick
hard
to
to see
Mission
it.
Impossible.
Yeah, it's hard to see it. But it's been a long 5 years. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. I mean, but in my heart, Black Widow's still alive. I will always stand by that. I don't care what Scarlett Johansson says. I will stand by that.
I was kind of upset about that when they did that.
Her movie where they dual released it. I was upset
And
about that.
yeah, that was when a lot of people weren't even going to the film. So, I mean,
That was
Melissa
the second movie
Mano
I
and
saw in theaters when everything opened back up.
so should, releasing it on the streaming service before the theater, that they really screwed her over with that. And they were doing it to a lot of other people.
I did it to Emma Stone with Cruella as well, where they dual released it. And from reading articles is that Scarlett's team tried to reach out, renegotiate a deal because like that's taken away from her box office bonuses. And they just like didn't respond to her. And so she decided to sue and they called her like her callous or something like that. I'm like that it's the principle. Like, I don't care if you're worth $1 or $1 billion. Like, it's the principle. You signed a contract. You need to be paid for what you're signing for. It doesn't matter if you're rich or not.
Yeah, and they also did that with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt with A Quiet Place 2.
They did.
And they did that with Nolan for Tenet, which is why he no longer works with Warner Brothers.
I don't blame him. And they have Greta Gerwig now. So if they screw her over, she'll just go somewhere else. And I
Yeah,
don't blame her for that.
both fingers crossed.
Yeah, Universal, though, I'm excited for what they're doing, especially now with our next topic, the Jurassic Park films that are coming up with Scarlett Johansson set to star and produce, and Garth Edwards, who I love, directing the project.
God, you know what? I just saw the last two films for the first time. Actually, I watched
Ignore that
the
last trilogy. Ignore the last trilogy. I'm so serious. I consider the first three as mine. I saw the first one with Bryce Dallas Howard. That one's okay. That one's good. But this one has
one
Steven
I enjoyed.
Spielberg. This one has Steven Spielberg directly attached to. Garth Edwards made the best Star Wars movie of all time, Rogue One. I will stand by that till the day I die. I'm excited for the writer in it. I mean, she's set to produce it with her company. So, and the guy from Monkey Man is rumored to also be starring with her.
Oh,
And I
Dave
think I'm happy.
Patel.
Yes. And I think I'm really happy just for the simple fact that she finally would have her own trilogy and her own franchise.
Hopefully this one is good, because I don't think the second one is Jurassic World, great. Second one, Fallen Kingdom. I don't think it's terrible. I
It's not the
just,
best.
yeah, I just find it. And then the last one, well,
I
it
didn't watch it.
was a movie.
I didn't watch it. I'm not like a Chris Pratt fan. After the whole, he was almost like Indiana Jones. I was, oh no. But Steven Spielberg is attached to this, and so I have the confidence in it. And the fact that it's not directly like has other cast members from the other movies in it, I'm gonna enjoy. I feel like Dave Patel and Scarlett Johansson will have a fantastic chemistry. I mean, she has fantastic chemistry with whatever he does with whoever.
Honestly, I feel like they're only adding them to save the franchise, which at this point, just give it
That
up.
might be true. But reading articles is after Lucy, they were like trying to find a way to work with her again, and they just didn't find anything until now. And I'm one that really loved Lucy. I still think it could have been a trilogy, but that's besides the point. I'm excited to see what they do with it. Hopefully they give so much money to the marketing and it's a billion-dollar movie. I think it can surely be one. But the director gives me a lot of confidence, and so does Scarlett.
What exactly was Lucy about? Did she play like a doll or something like that? Or am I thinking of
She's like
another?
a girl who's like on a vacation and she gets kidnapped, and they make her like a drug mule, and the drugs like explode in her body or something, and it gives her like some supernatural powers. Morgan Freeman's in it.
Oh, okay.
It's
Well,
like
I'll have
it's
to
an
add
action
that to my
movie.
list.
I find it enjoyable. I mean, I'm not a fan of the ending. I feel like it could have been better. There's so many movies of hers that could have been trilogies, like Ghost in the Shell. I might be one of the only ones that actually really enjoyed her in that movie. But
I think it's mainly because
I know
the
people have their
whole
opinions on that.
I haven't seen the live action, but I still haven't seen the animated film, and I have the animated film, but I think it's mainly the fact that they chose them.
Whitewashed. Yeah. I mean, it's a fictitious movie. I understand where people are coming from it, but who's to say we weren't in the private conversations with the original creator of the Ghost in the Shell and they wanted her. Like, you know what I mean? Same with like Aloha. Like, who's to say there wasn't like a conversation with the original people and Emma Stone? I mean, I don't like Aloha, but
You said
that was,
Aloha?
yeah, that was another one that was a whitewashed. I don't know what it's based off of. I thought it was just a cute, funny, silly rom-com with Emma Stone and Bradley Cooper. I didn't know. I know now, but like, those are two that come to mind that people, I think that was like during the same time frame.
Oh, well, that
But
makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I enjoy it. She's like, I'm sorry. Because it was like during an award show, and Sandra Oh, she was like, Ghost in the Shell and Aloha, and here, and Miss Stone go, I'm sorry. I don't even remember when that movie came out. I couldn't tell. I just know that it's like in Hawaii,
I
but
do remember
I'd
that.
have to rewatch it to like remember. But I'm excited for what Universal does. But next up, we have Margot Robbie, who is like taking the producing world by storm with her husband. She has Sims coming up, and I learned Sims has a whole storyline that I did not know existed. So I'm like, now I know what the movie's probably going to be about. And she's doing Monopoly. I feel like that can be a horror movie. It's like what goes wrong when you're playing with your family or something. But I'm excited to see what she does in the producing world. She does amazing things. She produced Saltburn, which I super enjoyed. But what are your thoughts on her upcoming projects?
I honestly don't know what to expect from a live action Sims or Monopoly movie. The Barbie was definitely worked, but Sims and Monopoly, that seems kind of left field.
It does. And I was like, well, what could it be about? And then I randomly saw a video on TikTok that there's literally like a whole story that you can play in the game. And I was like, I thought you just build houses. Maybe I missed the point of the game or something.
Yeah,
But
it's been
yeah,
a long
I have to find the
time.
video.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've played those games, and they were fun as hell, but I mean, I haven't played every single one of them, but I
Valid.
can't
You need to do
imagine
like a live
them.
action Call of Duty game or something. That would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, the Fallout series worked really well, but
I feel
with
like there's something there. She has to know something that we don't know.
I think with the Monopoly and the Sims, I think if it's written well, it can. I mean, Barbie, like I said, Barbie was successful. So, I mean, anything's possible, but it's odd trying to look at that other than being animated.
Yeah, it's like what's that one movie that they just wrapped filming? I can't think about it now. Minecraft. It's like I don't see it, but I see it. Okay. Oh, I know who's directing it. Kate Herron is directing the Sims game, which is the woman from Loki, and she's writing it as well.
The woman from what?
Loki, she directed Loki, the season one.
Oh, okay. I know who she's talking about now.
Yeah, she's writing it. I think it might do good. I mean, she's producing with her husband, so we shall see.
Depending on the casting and what the trailer looks like, that I'm pretty much open-minded to anything, it as long as it's written well.
Yeah, Monopoly, I might not have hopes for because I see Kevin Hart is t attached to it. And the director directed the two older Fantastic Four. He directed Ride Along, Taxi, Ride Along 2, Tom and Jerry. And I was like, ooh, maybe not.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'll sit that one out.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to see the trailer for Monopoly before I decide if I'm gonna see it or not. I have hope one of these is gonna make $1 billion, and I have a feeling it's gonna be Sims.
I have a gut feeling that that film is going to be a straight up comedy because everything with Kevin Hart in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, God.
He's gonna play the Monopoly man. I don't know the Monopoly man's name though. I want to see her return though and do another movie with Damien Chazelle.
Even if the cast is great, I just know. I mean, look what they did to Jumanji. I mean, the first one
Oh
was okay, but there's nothing like the original.
gosh. Yeah, I've seen like bits and pieces of it, and I'm like the first one to say that I don't like The Rock. And I feel like a lot of people can say that they don't like The Rock. It's just like you do that to an iconic Robin Williams movie. It just don't sit right with me. I feel like Kirsten Dunst would agree with me on that.
Right. That would
Oh
be
my
like
gosh.
trying to freaking remake. Oh God. What's
Like
a
Mrs. Doubtfire or something.
right.
Like it just don't work. There's just some movies of his you can't. It was just like when they did the live action Aladdin, I just could not get behind it.
Yeah, I wasn't I passed on that one. On the only Disney remakes that I've seen is Mulan, and that was garbage. And
Because there was no Mushu or music.
yeah, and
I like
well,
Beauty and the Beast, but that's it.
I heard that one was like really good, so maybe I'll have to watch that one. Did you like it better than
That's
the
the
animated
first
one?
movie. The what?
Did you like it better than the animated?
No. No, I legend. I think the animated is like the only animated movie that's been like nominated for like the Oscar for like Picture of the Year, right? I might, don't quote me on that, people. I might be wrong. I feel like I that, but that sounds right in my brain.
I know a lot of the Pixars have, but I'm not sure which Disney films specifically have been nominated. I think Lion King was nominated for some things, or I might
I
be
do
thinking of
too.
it may have won
Yeah,
some.
but I definitely think Beauty and the Beast was too.
Beauty and the Beast, isn't that Emma Watson?
No, the animated one I'm referring to. The one with Emma
No.
Watson, I think, is really good.
Yeah, the live action one had Emma Watson in it, didn't it?
Yeah, I know people didn't really like it, but like I saw it. I saw the vision that they were trying to build.
Maybe I'll have to watch that one. The didn't they do a what's it called?
A play.
Oh God, not Beauty and the Beast. What's the one with what's the girl, the actress from Baby Driver? She was also in Iron Claw.
She was in Cinderella. She was Cinderella, right?
Yes.
Lily. She was, oh my gosh. She was literally in that show with Sebastian Stan. I can't remember her name now. Lily Collins. Phil Collins'
Yeah.
daughter.
Is Cinderella any good?
I haven't seen that one. I didn't, honestly, I didn't know that came out. I'm just gonna. I'm gonna be honest. My Cinderella is the Hilary Duff one. Not related to the original story.
I
Mean, I found it enjoyable and I like the live play that they did with her. She played Belle and I found that really fun.
Where can I watch that at?
I think it's on Disney Plus or like Hulu, but I definitely. It was like, you remember when they did the live show for Grease? It's like that. It's just like a live rendition of Belle or Beauty and the Beast. I couldn't tell you who played Beast. I was like, oh, I love her because she's a good singer. Yeah, that one's really good. I found that one enjoyable. But that leads us into our next topic. What are two shows and two films that you are looking forward to for the remainder of this year?
As far as TV shows, I'm not.
New seasons or anything like that.
I'm not. I still. Well, as far as TV shows, I still have yet to see Shogun, and I heard that one was really good. And I think Superman and Lois season 4 might be coming out this year.
Okay.
So,
I'll have to add those to the list.
and as far as films, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes,
Okay.
got A Quiet Place, Day One.
I love Lupita. She's gonna kill it in that movie.
And what's the film that the A24 film that's coming out with Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh?
Oh yes, we live in time.
Yes, I need a trailer and I need it now.
Yes. So I have dreams and hopes that I get invited to that premiere. But that is what I'm looking forward to like the most because it's A24, so I already know I'm going to be crying in that movie. Bike Riders, because I really feel that this could be the year Jodie Comer wins an Oscar. Oh, that's it. This girl is going to get an EGOT so young because she already has an Emmy and a Tony Award that she won last year, or I guess technically this year. But Bike Riders looks really good. I'm glad that we finally got a date for that. What's another movie that I can't wait for? Fly Me to the Moon with Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson, because I've heard nothing but good things about that movie. For shows, The Bear season 3.
Oh, I forgot about
And
that.
I love The Bear. I feel like that's just, oh my gosh, I love it. Burf. He goes, well, who puts ketchup on a hot dog? And he goes, a child. And he says, child asshole. That always gets me. But I can't wait for The Bear. Because we're supposed to have Will Poulter is supposed to come back. And I'm excited to see if they get Olivia Colman to come back for like maybe another episode. Because I feel like that would be really awesome to see her again. I felt like last season they had a lot of good guest appearances, especially like the Christmas episode. And then what's another show? House of the Dragon, season 2. I thought it was coming out next year, but I guess not.
Isn't House of the Dragon similar to like Game of Thrones? Isn't that like a spin-off or something?
Yeah, it's a prequel to that. And I have only watched like a season and a half of Game of Thrones. Like I could never get into it. This one I got into because I like Matt Smith from The Crown. I might be the only one that enjoys him from that. What's another show? Silo, season 2. With Rebecca Ferguson. I cannot wait. That is Apple's best show they've ever made.
I still need to watch that.
It's so good. There's so many books on it. And the way it ended last season, I'm just like, where do we go from here? Because we had Rashida Jones in the very first episode, and like she kind of knows what happened in the truth, and then her husband finds out. It's just so good. I don't think a show has ever kept me on the edge of my seat like that before.
So who would you like to see guest star in or make a cameo in The Bear season 3?
Ooh. I think Elizabeth Olsen would do really good, and Florence Pugh as well. I think Elizabeth Olsen needs to do more shows. I just love her in anything. Not, I mean, I love her as Scarlet Witch, but like, I love her when she's not in Marvel. I feel like that is really where she shows her acting chops and that she gets that freedom to do what she wants.
I agree because after watching that show with what was the show she was in with Jesse Plemons?
Love and Death. I'm still upset she didn't win an Emmy.
Yeah, that one was really good. I still didn't watch the I watched up until maybe like towards the last two episodes or so, but I
Oh, it
think
was
that
so good.
yeah, I think she definitely has the dramatic chops, like everything that we've seen her in the MCU, it's like she does that
Times 10. Are you there? Oh gosh, okay. I got anyways. What else would she do? She would do really good in True Detective. I feel like she would kill it as a detective.
Wait, that hold up. That show was still on?
Yeah, they had season 4 that came out.
Oh, I
Yeah, that
honestly
one was with the Jodie Foster and then some girl from like the MMA. I can't remember her name.
because I thought that
I
show
just watched
ended.
season 1 and season 3. I found those really good.
But why skip over season two?
I tried to get into it. I couldn't get into it.
Oh, okay.
It was just
Well,
doing too much. I like LA, but it's not like when I think of like detective stuff, I'm like thinking of like mysterious and ominous in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean?
yeah.
I mean, I like Rachel McAdams, Colin Farrell, but like it just I couldn't get into it. And you have Vince Vaughn, so I skipped it, went to season 3, loved season 3.
Isn't every doesn't every season have different actors in it?
Correct. I
I
think
mean,
season
I
two
like when they do
or
that.
season 4 was really good. Just for the fact that it was like in the middle of Alaska and it's like the type of town that doesn't get sunlight for a certain period of time. And it's a bunch of scientists that go missing from this, not encampment. I don't know the word for it. Like the place that they're at. I think there was like 20 or something or 12. I don't know. So a lot of them went missing.
What?
And I found it really good.
Isn't that on HBO Max?
Yeah.
I think it's already on my list. I just haven't watched it yet. There's a lot of shows I still need to watch. A lot of people have seen except me.
I have to be in the mood for one. Like, I know The Sympathizer with Robert Downey Jr. and Sandra Oh came out like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, I need to be in the mood to like go watch that. I'm in a movie kick lately.
Well, what
you gotta put Killing Eve on your list too.
What recent films have you just watched that you maybe have never seen before that you like kind of just got around to?
Well, for Movie Club Monday, you can check out my review on TikTok. I watched Pulp Fiction for the first time, and it's a good movie. I can see where it's overrated. Because it's like, to me, it's not the greatest Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right.
I think Django Unchained is, but that's just my opinion. But that one, it was okay. I haven't seen Kill Bill. I still need to see that. I've seen like one scene, and I just never got around to watching it. I'm going to see The Challengers tonight, though, which I'm excited for.
You know,
anything with Zendaya and Josh O'Connor.
I like Zendaya, but just, you know, the idea of her getting sandwiched by
two. I don't people. Know. Well, I'm seeing it with my mom.
I have not seen the film. A lot of people told me that's not what happens, and to watch it myself and
I'm not sure. What happens. Yeah, I don't want like any awkward scenes, like, you know what I mean. Yeah. I saw Atomic Blonde with my dad and we had no clue, and that was embarrassing. You cut out.
Oh, I said it feel, even as an adult, it still feels odd watching certain scenes and films and TV shows with your parents.
Yeah. I'm like, I really hope that there's not something like super uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm an adult. We're all adults. Right. But I'm like, you know what I mean? It's just that Atomic Blonde was so embarrassing. I've seen movies with my dad and it's embarrassing. We don't know. Yeah. We just go see them. We don't really watch trailers.
Do you usually tell him, "Hey, we're gonna watch. Hey, we're gonna watch this film today"? Or, I mean, does he?
No.
Do you ever show him any films that?
He doesn't really watch movies anymore. He says there's nothing good anymore.
I agree with that. Well, go ahead.
I take him to see movies sometimes. Like, what was one? I took him to see Spider-Man No Way Home, and this dude with a straight look on his face pokes me and he goes, "Where's James Franco?" I was like, "Wait, what? No, he's not going to be in this movie, dude." He was so upset James Franco wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, that's not the best Spider-Man film.
It's not the best Spider-Man film. They did it for the shock value for the fans.
Now, I don't think that it's I'm talking Spider-Man 3. I don't think it's the worst, but I will definitely rewatch it any day over
Amazing. Wait, the Tobey Spider-Man 3 or the Tom Holland Spider-Man 3?
The Tobey Spider-Man 3. That one's not terrible. But it's less insufferable over Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I've never seen the Andrew Garfield ones. I was in protest when I was a child. I'm be like, I'm not seeing this because Tobey is my Spider-Man. And my dad didn't want to see it either. because he didn't understand why we were getting another one. And I haven't seen the first one with Tom Holland. I just didn't care for it. I didn't care to watch it.
First one was okay. Far From Home was
it's aight. But it's not like the best. He's just a kid. But I don't think we need Spider-Man 4, though. Like, it's just super unnecessary. Hello? Did you cut out again? Hello? Hello, hello.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What were we saying? Oh, Spider-Man. Being the second Spider-Man wasn't the best.
The Tobey Maguire ones, the first two were great. Third one, eh.
I just like that we got him in the black suit.
Yeah, that looks really cool, but that I will never forgive them for that that stupid dance.
I loved it. I thought it was funny. I love the suit, though. I hate CGI suits with a passion.
Yeah, I agree. I understand where they were going with Tom's suit with making the eyes move. I think that looks really cool. But overall, I like practical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I don't like the Iron Man suits. After Age of Ultron, I don't like them anymore. Because it's just less practical. And like, I get he can't move, but like, I've seen cosplayers and TikTokers, they make their own like 3D suits. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly they can do it, so y'all can too. And I'm not trying to be like hateful on CGI effect people or anything like that, but I'm just like, if you can do practical, do it. Like, there's no need. I'm sure you can make an Iron Spider suit practical. You'd probably make him wear his original suit and have like little dots on there to add the effects. But like, yeah.
And there are a lot of fans that have made fantastic cosplay outfits that look just as real or even better than the actual outfits.
I've seen like full Iron Man suits and I'm like, those are super practical. Like, I just can't with the Iron Man suits, like after the fact. Like, I get he only wears the top of it, but I'm like, such a downgrade. And it's like, you can tell. And it's like, even with the Moon Knight one, that's the first time I ever noticed like their CGI and VFX works looked really wonky. I was like, why did that look so weird? It's just like, I get it's cheaper, but it's also lazy. Like, people appreciate filmmakers that are going to take the time to do things. So like Christopher Nolan, like that whole tunnel scene in one of his Batman movies, like it was like a miniature set. Like, I appreciate that it's not visual effects or CGI nonsense. Like, I get there's a place and there's a time for it, but I mean, hopefully we see more practical effects. The one thing I did like is that in Star Wars, they have that like big, I can't remember the name of it. They have that big screen where you can create like an artificial world, essentially. And it's not like a blue screen or a green screen. So you're creating the set that you want that day. And I find that fun and just like really practical. And like even Christian Bell didn't like filming Thor because he's like, "Ooh, it's a blue screen. What do I do?"
Oh, I feel so bad for Christian Bell because, God, they wasted him.
He's like, "What do I do with this blue screen?" I was like, "Bro, I feel so bad for him." Because he's like, he went from Christopher Nolan to Taika Waititi. I feel like Taika did this purposely to make this movie so bad.
That he needs to be stopped. Just kick him off.
Jojo Rabbit was good. But like, what? Thor 3, fantastic. And I felt like he's like, "Let me just make a really bad Thor movie." And I think he did it on purpose. Like, no one can convince me otherwise.
Yeah, I don't...
Like, how did he go from winning an Oscar to that? I don't even think Chris Hemsworth liked the movie.
Yeah, because even he said, "I don't know if I want to work with him anymore."
You know, that's valid. Thor 3 is so good. They could have. That's where it should have ended. I did cry when Natalie Portman's character died. So, I mean, job well done since they made that happen.
I mean, yeah, that's the like only scene that made me feel any kind of emotion is when she admitted to him that she had cancer. I cried.
Oh yeah, that was heartbreaking. I think I saw it in 3D. I don't remember why I saw it in 3D, but I did. Oh no, I remember because that was like the first showing and I didn't want to like be around like a bunch of people.
Surely
a fun time for 3D, but not really necessary.
I'm not into 3D at all. I don't remember the last time I saw a film in 3D, but
yeah, I think Thor was the last one I saw in 3D.
But yeah, even like when Thor 3 came out, like I remember there was a decision, like I went with my dad and my brother, mm-hmm. and he was like, okay, he was gonna get the tickets, and mm-hmm. he was like, "Okay, Justice League and Thor Ragnarok start around the same time. What do you guys want to watch?" And I voted for Ragnarok, and they voted for Justice League. So I was just like, "Oh God, now I have to watch this."
You could not pay me enough to watch that ever again. I was like watching with my dad the original one. I was like, "This is not good. None of the storyline don't make sense, my sir."
Right.
And then I watched the 4-hour cut, and I was like, "That ugh. If you want something to waste your day, there you go. Waste of time."
The freaking 4-hour cut is just. Oh my God.
I mean, it makes it make more sense. But I was like getting sleepy. I would have rather watched the 2001 Space Odyssey again than that.
Yeah, I heard that one was kind of. Even Draco was saying that he thought that film was just okay. The 2001 Space Odyssey, and a lot of fanboys was like, "Oh, what are you talking about?"
Oh, I did not like it. I will never watch it again. It was so boring. I get the purpose of it. I understand why there's no dialogue. I get it. It's just not for me, and that's fine. Like, just keep your psychopathic robot thing and call it a day. The second one, there's a sequel. I found that one really good.
I think I just really love stuff about space.
Me too. I don't like movies that are like one single area in person the entire time. That just bothers me. And it's just, it could be done very well, but a lot of the time it's done very lazy.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite space movies is The Martian.
I do like The Martian. That's a fun movie. But I don't like... what do I not like? What really bothered me is that, like, I think it takes 3 years to get to Mars. Like, the shortest period, like how close it is to Earth. But I think it took them like what, 6 or 7 months, and it just really bothered me that it wasn't like accurate or something. I still enjoy the movie, but it just bothered me.
Oh yeah, because you know, by the time they would get back to them, they'd be skeletons.
Yeah, it just bothered me. It's like, okay, well, this isn't scientifically like accurate. What are we doing? Yeah, but it's okay. It has a lot of good music in it, and I love Jessica Chastain. So it's okay.
I do think we're going to find a way to make it to Mars in less time than that eventually.
Oh, one day. We just have to get there first. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it will happen. But what else? I don't think we have any other topics to cover. No. Unless you have any last mentions.
Yeah, God, after Dune Part 2 and Monkey Man and Civil War, I think those will be those three and Kingdom of the Planet Apes. I think those films are going to be the ones that everyone is still talking about towards the end of the year.
I agree with you. And I must add Sebastian Stan's A Different Man, I think it is. It's the guy from, he's in Under the Skin. It's an A24 movie, and there's rumblings that it might be an Oscar-worthy performance.
It's crazy that he's gonna play Trump.
Oh yeah, there's that movie too. I forgot about that movie. I'm excited for the one with the Elizabeth Olsen, Carrie Coon and Natasha Lyonne. I've heard rumblings about that being like an Oscar-worthy movie as well, and like the early predictions. What I think Sebastian Stan's A24 movie is going to be their Oscar push for this year.
He is such a nice guy in person that it's freaking incredible that he's able to change into a completely different person when he's on screen.
I agree with you. I think he has a lot of talent. He takes a lot of risks. A lot of times they're not good risks because some of the movies are pretty bad. But you know what? He's still taking risks. He's still trying. And I appreciate actors that do that instead of being pigeonholed into a certain type of role.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we got for y'all today on episode 2, episode 3. Come back next week for the midcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jalen, and this is
Craig.
Anywhere.
And enjoy the rest of you guys this week. And hopefully next time I'll get some food inside my stomach before I come do this.
Of course. And you can catch me on Twitter at Jalen Sanderson or the Tick of the Talk at Lost in Live Translation. And Craig, where can they find you?
My name is usually the same for a lot. It's at Craig Jr. 97. And by the way, do not at me for stating that Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy is mediocre. I stand by that opinion. They're great films. They are just not good comic book films. And Snyder fans, you prove me right when his last film, Rebel Moon Part 2, just came out and people are shitting all over it. So thank you for proving that he is so good of a director.
Oscar-worthy director, guys. Anyways, come catch us next week. Again, I'm Jalen, and this is
Craig.
See you later.
That was pretty good.